GE is the world's largest industrial company. On today's Second Underreported, we find out how a corporate giant that large is taking advantage of a government rescue program that's aimed at helping banks. And here to explain is Jeff Gerth, senior reporter for ProPublica, an independent nonprofit newsroom that produces investigative journalism in the public interest. He co-wrote an article on GE that appeared in Monday's Washington Post, and I'm pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Good to be there.
As I said, the GE is the world's largest industrial company. Why did it need to participate in a program like TLGP in the first place?
Well, a good chunk of GE's business involves its finance arm, which is called GE Capital, and they're major lenders. And last fall, when the credit markets seized up, they felt they were, you know, in a similar situation to most of the banks and other lending institutions. So they wanted to see if they could get into this program that was announced in mid-October by the government.
Now, GE Capital began in the Great Depression, and has it always been a success?
Well, I can't say how well it did, you know, back 70, 80 years ago, but more recently, it's been very successful for General Electric. Over the last 5 years, it's accounted for about half of its profits.
I've heard of the Troubled Asset Relief Program, known as TARP. What about this other one, the one that I just mentioned, the TLGP, the Temporary Liquidity Guarantee Program that GE is part of? Is it similar to TARP?
No. I mean, it's sort of the other side of the balance sheet, if you will. It was announced the same day as TARP was, October 14th, and whereas TARP consists of the government infusing capital into banks, the debt guarantee program looks at the debt that banks issue, whether it's corporate IOUs or long-term bonds, and provided a government guarantee of that debt that enabled banks to sell their debt in the open markets, and investors could feel comfortable that they would have the government guaranteeing the repayment of that debt.
So this is a kind of a loan program?
Well, I suppose it's a guarantee program. So the government isn't loaning money to banks or to GE. It's guaranteeing that the debt they sell, which is what they use to fund themselves, will be paid back even if the company that's issuing the debt were to default on it.
What sorts of oversight accompany participation in the TLGP?
Well, nowhere near the oversight that takes place with TARP, in part because TARP involves congressionally appropriated monies. And when Congress passed the legislation that enabled TARP, it put in a series of restrictions, special inspector general, different kind of audits, compensation restrictions, et cetera. The loan guarantee program is run by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which does not exist through congressional appropriations, but relies for its money on fees that the banks and others that have deposit insurance pay to the corporation.
But before it went into the before the FDIC took over, it was overseen by the Office of Thrift Supervision. That was a pretty much a toothless organization, wasn't it?
Well, GE and a number of other large institutions that own savings banks are regulated by the Office of Thrift Supervision, and there's no question that of all the federal regulators, the OTS has been the weakest and least effective, and many of the failed institutions that helped precipitate the crisis, including AIG and including IndyMac and Washington Mutual, were supervised, at least in part, if not wholly, by the Office of Thrift Supervision.
So why was it so lax in its supervision? After all, it has the word supervision in its name.
Well, you have to understand a little bit of the history of OTS. It's actually the successor agency to the Federal Home Loan Bank Board, which supervised the savings and loan industry in the up through the 1980s, and then, of course, the industry had a major collapse, causing a huge cost to the federal government. And so Congress abolished the supervisory body and replaced it with OTS, even though essentially it was just a name change. All the people who worked at the Federal Home Loan Bank Board just went off and became employees of the Office of Thrift Supervision. And so historically, it hasn't been very vigorous an enforcement agency, and has sort of led the way, especially in recent years, in being sort of deregulatory in its focus.
Did GE have to accept FDIC regulation in order to participate in the Temporary Liquidity Guarantee Program?
Well, they already have some partial FDIC supervision because they own two small depository institutions in Utah. One's a savings and loan called GE Money Bank, and the other is an industrial loan company. And so by virtue of owning depository institutions, those institutions in turn are supervised by the FDIC. And once they entered into the loan guarantee program, they did subject themselves to more supervision by the FDIC, but the FDIC doesn't have the resources to really or the expertise to supervise a giant company like GE, which is the largest company in the world.
My guest is Jeff Gerth, senior reporter for ProPublica. He's talking to us about GE benefiting from a government banking program for the second segment of today's Underreported. As I understand it, GE was ineligible for the TLGP program initially in October when the program was announced, and then the eligibility rules changed. Was that because GE lobbied for a change?
Well, they were initially ineligible, and executives from the company and some lawyers that they retained appealed to the FDIC and asked them to broaden the pool or universe of entities that would be eligible. And as best as we can tell from our reporting, there was really only one other institution that was seeking to have the eligibility standards changed, and that was Citigroup. And Citigroup was already in the program by virtue of it being a bank holding company and by virtue of it owning Citibank, one of the largest banks in the country. But Citigroup wanted a little more flexibility because they had another entity in their corporation structure that issued debt but didn't meet the eligibility standards. So certainly GE's efforts to get the rules changed were part of the reason, if not a significant part of the reason, for the modification.
Well, GE Capital was created as a way to buy appliances, not finance investment in Eastern Europe or to run a savings bank. What happened? What kind of savings bank does GE own?
They own a bank called GE Money Bank, which they bought, I believe, sometime in the 1990s. And it enables them, this was not in the article, but it's an interesting sort of element of their regulatory structure. Beginning in about 5 years ago, the EU issued a directive, and it said that any entity that wanted to participate in the European financial markets, and of course GE, as well as a number of other major American financial institutions, are very active in Europe. They needed to have a supervisor that was equivalent to what they would get in the EU, and if they couldn't come up with one, then they would have to face the regulation of European European authorities, and in some cases those regulations are much tougher, especially for savings and loan holding companies that are regulated by the OTS. And so GE, working with OTS in 2004, was able to win the designation from Europe that the OTS could be their supervisor for Europe and the United States. And so that was very helpful to GE. And the reason they were able to do that is because they had this thrift in Utah, and the OTS is their supervisor.
And how hard was GE hit in September and October as the markets melted down?
Well, they were obviously hit some, and their stock has taken a very significant hit and gone down, and they've lost their AAA credit rating, which they've had for many, many decades, one of the few companies in the world to enjoy a AAA credit rating. And earlier this year, they had to cut their dividend significantly, again, for the first time in many, many decades. Having said that, their lending profile is not the same as many banks, so they didn't have the same kind of exposure in subprime mortgages. They didn't have the same exposure to securitized debt or off-balance sheet investments. But they still do have, you know, significant financial exposure. They have 56 million credit card holders, and many credit card companies are facing financial issues these days, and they're a very big commercial real estate lender, so they have some exposure there.
Well, many of the larger banks that were part of TARP have been working to pay back the money, partly as a way of avoiding the regulations that accompany that program. Is GE paying back the TLGP money it's used to secure its debt? And
well,
has it been put through the same kinds of stress tests that the TARP money people have?
Well, the answer to your second question is no, but the answer to your first question is they didn't get money. They got a guarantee, and in fact, they've had to pay a fee for it, though mm-hmm. the fee they've paid is cheaper than what they would have had to pay if they had to get that kind of protection in the marketplace. So they don't have to pay anything back, and the guarantee lasts through 2012. So they're not, it's not the same situation as TARP, where the government actually injected or invested money in a bank. The government hasn't invested in the temporary liquidity program. They simply provided a guarantee, and that guarantee remains good through 2012.
We just have about 30 seconds to go, but has the market responded to GE's participation in the program? Has its stock price gone up or down, its bond rating?
Well, the one thing I can say is that over periods of time, both at the end of last year and then earlier this year when the program was renewed, the credit default swap price to insure against default on GE bonds has dropped significantly, first when GE got into the program and second when the program was extended for another 6 months. So the markets have definitely factored in the fact that the government is providing this guarantee.
Jeff, thank you so much for talking with us. Jeff Gerth is a senior reporter for ProPublica, an independent nonprofit newsroom that produces investigative journalism in the public interest. And he co-wrote an article on this story about GE that appeared in Monday's Washington Post. I want to thank you so much for being on our show today. And this is... Tomorrow, on a special pre-4th of July encore edition of the show, we will rebroadcast my interview with news anchor Jim Lehrer about his latest novel, Oh Johnny. Then, architects Ellen Dunham John and June Williamson talk about ways to improve the suburbs. Also, Ursula K. Le Guin on her latest novel, Lavinia. Plus, Dr. David Kessler, the former head of the FDA, explains how we have become conditioned to overeat. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakely Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Alex Conrad and Sherry Shen. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. We will see you tomorrow.